Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
Let's fire it up. Good morning, Arizona. It's going to be a little warm this weekend. But our days are about an hour and 15 minutes shorter than the summer solstice. So we're going in the right direction. I hope y'all had a great week. Me and Miss Jennifer had a great week.
We sure did. Had a great last weekend as well.
That was. Ran down to Tucson and watched the Voices of Vail premiere showing at the Fox Theater. That was a great little event.
It was a wonderful event. Kudos to J.J. Lamb and all the people of the Arizona Historical Society who put together that story.
And I tell you what, that hike we did in Sabino Canyon, Sabino Canyon is good enough to move to Tucson. I would move to Tucson just for Sabino Canyon Park.
We're going to start looping in a hike every time we go because that was beautiful.
That was absolutely fantastic, absolutely gorgeous.
So people that didn't get by the Fox Theater, do we have the opportunity to see this story, this video that they premiered? Where is that going to be available for the rest of us?
Well, I personally have 5 copies of the DVD that I'll be giving out towards the end of the hour.
But
in the meantime, I will check on that, Romy. I'm sure it's available. Maybe I'll find the link.
Okay.
Vail is a small, what was always a small little hamlet, actually just a rail stop southeast of Tucson, now home to about 7,000 or 8,000 people. But J.J. Lamb, as director of the Vail Historic Preservation Society, put this video together of actually interviewing the pioneers and settlers and put the whole story together for the little town of Vail. It's really a little history lesson on a little corner of Arizona.
Very multicultural. They had the Tohono O'odham included in the story, as well as the Chinese who came to work on the railroads and the ranchers and immigrants. It was pretty fascinating. Two hours. I don't think we didn't even have an intermission, did it? I don't think we moved one. No. It was very riveting.
It was great. So we hope y'all had a great week. We've got some special guests in this hour, return guests that are always highlights of the show. Of course, our love of Arizona means we're like, you know, charter subscribers to Arizona Highways magazines. I mean, when we moved here in 65, my mama started the subscription for the house. I don't think I've ever lived in Arizona since 65 without an Arizona Highways showing up in the mailbox every single month. And we've got retired publisher Mr. Wynn Holden in here this morning.
Good morning.
So how many retirement notches do you have in your calendar? When did you actually pull the switch and walk out the door and turn the keys over?
My last day in the office was June 30th. Okay. So it's been since then.
All right. So you're still kind of a novice retiree.
Feels more like vacation, Rosie. Yeah, I am a novice retiree.
Well, I'm anxious to visit with you about some of your highlights over, what, the 20 years you were?
18
you were at Arizona Highways?
Yep.
Okay. And your able replacement.
Absolutely.
Kelly Miro is here in the studio this morning. Kelly, thanks a million for dragging in here this morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
So, and you've been at the magazine for?
14 years.
14 years, okay. Well, I've always said you never really had a job anyway.
Kind of like you guys.
I mean, when you're at your office and you have photographers and writers coming and telling you and trying to convince you and persuade you of which picture and which story to include about this great state of Arizona, and that's the entire existence of your entrepreneurial world, that's not a job.
Well, we to be totally honest, we have a tremendous opportunity. The magazine started in April of 1925. It's been in continuous distribution since then. And while certainly the landscape has changed in the whole media universe, but none more dramatically than in the print area, magazines, when you consider what magazines that were around even 20 years ago are gone.
Right.
So we've had to adapt the business model. And one of the ways we've done adapting that, it was Kelly's responsibilities when we first brought him into the magazine 14 years ago, was we need to place far more emphasis on marketing and sales. And that's what he did to a T, and that literally helped the magazine.
What was the original business model for the magazine?
Originally, the magazine's – this is where people don't really understand. The magazine's always been owned by the state. And it's always been under the management of the Department of Transportation. Now, the Department of Transportation's had various names since 1925, but that's it. So originally, if you look at the first couple of issues, they were literally designed to attract engineers to Arizona. Remember, this was just a few years past statehood, and so the infrastructure in the state was very limited. So the magazine was designed to appeal to engineers to get them to come out to Arizona and help build the infrastructure and contribute to this exciting new state. In about 1938, 13 years into the run, a guy named Raymond Carlson was hired to be the editor. Prior to that, the people were largely engineers, didn't know anything about journalism, really didn't know anything about layout and design. And obviously, the technology is very different now than it was in 25. But Carlson had a vision. He said, look, instead of talking about building roads, let's talk about building visitation. I mean, we have this incredible array of natural beauty assets in Arizona. Let's entice people to come here. Use the magazine as a way to encourage people to come, because they'll see things in the magazine that they can't possibly see where they live. And it worked. The magazine took off. Carlson was the editor for, goodness gracious, 40 years, give or take. He really put the magazine on the map.
Showing off everything Arizona has to show off.
Which we've done every day since 1938.
Just it never gets old.
No, it never does. I'm tickled now, because the one feature in your magazine 50 years ago today, the cover 50 years ago,
yep.
Those are all covers I remember now. Those are all ones I've seen. So, Kelly, where do you take the magazine from here?
That's a great question. Really, sustainability is in key to the longevity of the organization for the magazine. Trying to make sure that we are looking at not only continue to grow the subscription base, but also what we have to do in the digital realm, because we are inundated with content from every device you can think of these days. So how do you grab that attention, and how do you keep
that
focus?
Absolutely. That's really tough.
Absolutely. It's very tough. But what we do is so great that how do you not want to take a moment to kind of break away from the normal chaos of the content and look at some beautiful pictures and read some good stories and kind of get away from that escape?
Well, and then y'all's recent, last year, your recent kind of experiment of going with artwork on the cover was kind of a departure from your standard photography.
Absolutely, it was. I would give Robert Steve, our editor, credit for that, because he worked with.
There's another guy that doesn't really have a job.
Yeah. He
really doesn't have a job. I mean, if you can take your official corporate picture in shorts, hiking boots, sitting on a rock, then you don't have a job.
Well, and when you look like him, you can get away with that. Take that picture of me, and people are going to cancel their subscriptions.
All right, so you were talking about that art.
Yeah, so Robert worked with Chris Gall, the artist, and came up with this concept of, showcasing iconic places in Arizona with his great illustration. And so that was really something special. And so now we've been able to take that and also carry it over to other products, posters, note cards, thinking about doing a calendar possibly next year with the artwork. So it's been really unique for us.
Well, that's a big business model change that y'all have had over the last 20, 30 years, the gift store and all the additional publishing y'all are doing. How many books are in y'all's library now?
The backlist, I think, has something like 40 titles, and we're doing, on average, one or two a year. We used to do far more than that, and most of the emphasis was on and I'm sorry, I shouldn't be – this is Kelly's business – was on coffee table books. But literally after 9/11, the hardcover coffee table travel book business stopped. I mean, people did
really?
Not. Yeah, they didn't want to think about having to get on an airplane to go to some exotic place. So they just didn't even want to think about it. And that forced us to look hard at our business model. And so we placed a lot more emphasis on guidebooks, on smaller format books, and it's worked. I mean, we really have had far more success than we ever could have predicted.
Well, and then initially, like when we were getting the magazine back in the 60s, you were talking about how sales and marketing had to become a bigger and bigger part of the magazine. It was almost it was pretty sterile back in the 60s in that it was just the photos and the content.
Oh, yeah, it was a much different publication then. But remember, I mean, I grew up in the 60s, and it was a pretty idyllic time. I mean, I grew up in a small town in the Midwest, and while, yes, we had some issues with the Cold War and that kind of stuff, the level of information bombardment and fine-tuning every little niche. So if you're talking about Bisbee, there are literally millions of pages if you go online about Bisbee. Now, how do you sift through all that? That's one of the things we try to do.
That would be tough.
Very.
Beautiful little Bisbee. I think that's on our next little Arizona travel bucket list. Go take the horses down into the southeast corner of the state. It's always one of our favorite little areas around the Canela Hills and Sonoyta and all that. But we're gonna push a little bit farther east, I think, on our next trip there. Well, Wynn, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the highlights of your career at Arizona Highways. There's one story in particular I'm just dying to get the true backstory on. As a publication owned by the state, you're really a government employee.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And where people get confused, and we acknowledge that openly, we belong to ADOT. There's no question. The magazine doesn't get any money from the state. I mean, since the early 70s, the magazine has had to be freestanding. So literally we have to run it like a business as opposed to a government entity where you're getting appropriated dollars. And candidly, that's really good for us. It forces us to stay on our toes, and it means that we don't have to go down to the legislature every year to beg for money.
And then we have the Great Recession, and you get that phone call. When? I see some money in your account. We need it. I want that story when we get back, all right? Right here with Wynn Holden and Kelly Miro from Arizona Highways here at Rosie on the House.